You get the bye next week, but Caleb, what have you learned most about yourself in this offense through now you're 4-2?
Yeah, you got to keep going. There's going to be times throughout the game, where there's plays that you don't like, plays that you messed up on, like today. But to keep going, have the positive mindset, stay a constant communicator throughout the whole team, office coordinator, everybody, and have, like I said, that positive mindset goes a long way for our guys.
Positive mindset is great. It can only get you so far, though, when you've got an opponent on their turf staring you down. These teams have, neither one has really beaten anybody with a winning record. So this is I don't usually get hung up in the idea of a statement game, but if ever one can be one, a measuring stick kind of game, this may be one for both the Bears and the Commanders. Let's talk some football with our next guest, Herman Edwards. He is on Twitter at Herm Edward, ESPN analyst, former NFL and college head coach, 10-year NFL defensive back, is with us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hello, Herm. How are you?
I am well. I think if you're a Chicago Bear fan, you're well. You're feeling pretty good about your quarterback all of a sudden. And in a division, when you think about the NFC North, right now it's probably the best division in football when you look at the win-loss record of that division, 19-6 total. Everyone has 5 wins except Chicago. Chicago sits there 4-2, but pretty competitive division. And when you watch your young quarterback play now, I think, he mentioned some things about the offense. But basically, when you watch it from afar, it's real simple. The game slowed down. It slowed down for him, and he's playing more from the pocket where he can see the field. I mean, he was a guy in college that he was kind of helter-skelter player. He always felt like he had to score points, rightly so. He played with a team that was giving up about 35 points a game, so he felt like he had to score a touchdown every time he touched the ball. But I think the game has slowed down for him. The coaches have done a nice job with him, and this team all of a sudden is kind of finding their way. You mentioned that, they haven't played anybody with a winning record. Well, the reason they hadn't played anybody winning record is because the team, they beat those teams. So that's not their fault. They all count. And got a big game this week with 2 rookie quarterbacks that are the future of both of these organizations. Ought to be a fun game to watch.
Herm, I'm really interested to get your perspective on what expectations should be for a quarterback as a rookie who doesn't sit. These two guys that if Jaden Daniels does play, he didn't practice today. So what should the realistic expectations be in year one of an NFL quarterback who's pressed into immediate, hey, here's the franchise, it's on your shoulders?
Well, I think like all young quarterbacks, the surrounding cast has to help him. Now, he has to get better as the season progresses, and I think both these young men have done this. You can go back historically and look at a lot of quarterbacks that ended up being Hall of Famers. 2 to come to my mind is Peyton Manning and Troy Aikman. Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions. They were flat awful. Troy Aikman won 1 football game. So that was with the Dallas Cowboys. So, we can set expectations all we want. But just, I always say this, what does your eyes tell you when you watch them play, okay? And if you're a fan, okay, and you could be critical, because we are, you can look at him when he started and where he's at right now, and you've got to say, okay, he's getting better. And that's a good thing. And I think the more they play, the one thing about experience, it's just like hosting a radio show. The more you do it, more experience you get, mm-hmm. right? The more confident you feel.
Some of us can use all the reps we can get, Herm. I will say this.
Every though. Time.
Yeah, I'm including myself. When it comes to, we're almost halfway through the season, and we know that the toughest part of the Bears' schedule is ahead. When it comes to development for a rookie quarterback, what can we anticipate might happen, or what are you looking out for as a former head coach when it comes to maybe a setback or two, or just the ebbs and flows, when there's a lot of tape that's been built up on you throughout the season?
Well, that's going to happen. You're going to have a setback or two. That's just football in general. But I think what he has to realize now is that, they've established themselves pretty much defensively, that they're pretty good defense. They're ranked 7th in the league, somewhere right around in that number. So I got a good defense. Now, he didn't have that at USC. He got a good defense. They're only giving up about, what, 17 points a game. That last time I checked, that's really good. And what he's got to figure out is this. Look, as much as you want to make a play, just stay within the framework of the offense, right? There'll be times where you have to go and play off schedule, but stay on schedule. And the key to all young quarterbacks, any quarterback, I always tell them, just don't throw it to the bad guys. You know, anytime we end a drive, it should end with a kick. If he does that, he's fine. Either you're going to punt it, you're going to kick the point after, or you're kicking a field goal. It's a kick. Every time you give the opponent the ball, just let him kick. We kick it to him. And if he understands that, you know, he'll get better.
Coaching question for you. When you mentioned, we talked about the quality of teams that they've played to compile this 4-2 record, and you said they all count. And that's absolutely true. They do. I'm not going to argue against that. But what I want to know is how you walk the fine line as a coach and a motivator by keeping them confident to say, hey, you guys are good. You're a winning team. And also saying, you guys ain't crap yet. You haven't proven anything. You know, how do you make sure that at this point in a season, they know it. They watch the games. They know the records of the teams. They saw what Carolina did last week. They see what Jacksonville's doing. So how do you pump them up enough to say, hey, you deserve this, and you guys are really good, and also say, and also have them be aware that this really is a step up in class of opponent?
Well, the first thing you realize in sports, in any sport, good teams don't lose to bad teams. Don't lose to bad teams. And so that clarifies all that. That if we, the team that we played, we're supposed to beat them, and we did. Real simple. Real simple message. We're a better team. Don't lose to bad teams, guys. And generally winning teams don't lose to bad teams. They just don't. That doesn't happen a whole lot. Now, it happens every once in a while if you get careless and you start thinking you're real good. But look, these guys, you know, I don't know what their expectations were. I mean, every coach says, oh, we want to win and we're going to try to win the division. Yeah, that's coach talk. We all say that. Okay? But at the end of the day, you look at this division and you ask yourself this question. You got the Detroit Lions. They might be the best football team in the NFC in the National Football League. If you were asking me, they got my vote. They're number one. The Minnesota Vikings. Huh? They're pretty good. they were rolling along here until they played Detroit. Didn't have a loss. The Green Bay Packers, they got a really good football team too. Okay, so you're in a division and you're one game out of the lead. And you measure yourself with that. You say, hey, look, these are all the good teams. Guess what? We're one game behind them. That's what you tell your football team. And no one expected this out of us. Nobody. Nobody expected this. I didn't expect what I'm seeing out of Washington. You got a rookie quarterback and Washington Commanders are in first place? Really? Interesting.
What is your opinion? I know he might not play it in practice, but just overall, what is your take on the Commanders' chances just hosting this game at home against the Bears?
Oh, I think the Commanders will have their work cut out because they're playing a really good defense. This is one of the better defenses Jaden's played all year. And so, you know, he's well aware of that. And, you know, you when you play defenses like this, you got to step the game up. And I think he realizes that. So I think it's a good game, I think, for two young quarterbacks that are the future of your organizations. And I think if you're a fan of any one of these organizations, and I'm a fan of football, okay? I played with the Eagles, and I'm an Eagle fan, okay, but I'm a fan of football, generally. It's my whole life. I'm indebted to football. And when I watch football in today's world, we all understand it's a quarterback-driven league. And when you get young quarterbacks that can come in as rookies and play the way these two young men have played thus far, that's good for football. It just is. And hopefully both these guys are successful. They'll have long careers. And we'll sit here maybe next year and we'll talk about, hey, Chicago got a chance to win the division this year. No one would say that this year. No one was going to say the Bears are going to win a division with a rookie quarterback. But after, you know, what, seven games, you know, for most of these teams, they had a bye last week. You're going, wow, you're a fan. You're kind of going to the game now. You're kind of walking over. You're wearing that Chicago sweatshirt now. You know, it's not covered up anymore. It's kind of out there, right? Yeah, I'm a Bear fan. Yeah, well, go ahead and be a Bear fan. You should be. You should be excited about your football team. And don't worry about the games they won. Yeah, they won those games. They didn't lose them. They didn't lose them. When people were going to play the Chicago Bears, you know what they said? This is going to be a losing team because they got a rookie quarterback. That's what those teams that they beat were saying about the Chicago Bears, just so you know what the other side is saying.
Herm, looking at the way the Bears have played this season, as you mentioned, probably outdoing expectations, although it is early, really a lot of focus for me has been on Matt Eberflus, the head coach. He's in year three of what has been obviously a rebuild. They were tanking a couple of years ago. But now we get to see what he has, not just as a defensive mind, because, you know, he calls the plays on game days on the defensive side of the football. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the evolution of a head coach, a first-time head coach, from being, you know, with a bad team and maybe an underperforming group of players because they just don't have the talent that other teams do, compared to where he is now and what he needs to do to prove himself as a head coach.
You know, I've never met Coach. I've just seen him from afar. But he's never made excuses, and he's never blamed the players. That's critical. I think he's got a hard job because he's trying to coordinate the defense and be the head coach. That is very difficult. When I became a head coach, I didn't want nothing to do with being a coordinator because I got to coach the team. I got to coach everybody. All my energy has to go to the players and the coaching staff. I don't have time to sit in meetings and run the meeting. I'm going in all the meetings, and that's how I did it. He's done it different. It's more difficult for him because of what he's trying to do. And I think now when you look at his football team, they stayed steady with a rookie quarterback. They haven't panicked. They weren't pointing fingers when he wasn't playing well. You know, the defense kept going out there when he's turning the ball over. Oh, he turned it over again. They just kept playing, right? So that's a credit to him and his coaching staff.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to ask you, too. You've talked about the importance of running the ball for sustaining these offenses, particularly for young quarterbacks. But I know you believe this for any quarterback. Ideally, how much should the Bears be running the ball, you think, to help out Caleb Williams, not just in this game, but moving forward?
I think this, when you watch the National Football League anymore, it's a league now defensively. When you watch defenses play, they play with anywhere between 5 and 6 defensive backs because of the pass, right? So if you really look at football, and it's even happening in college football, the runner has become kind of, ooh, we're running the ball again. Yeah. You know why? Because you got light boxes. You got guys that are in the box trying to play pass defense because they're worried about covering tight ends and running backs and the third or fourth wide receiver, and now you run the ball and they can't stop the run. So for me, it's kind of, if I'm a coach and I get a light box, I'm going to have a check every time I see a light box. And if I see the light box, I'm going, hey, man, we could check to a run because we're going to make 5 yards because they're not linebackers anymore.
I was just going to say, most teams, strong side linebacker really doesn't exist anymore.
He don't play. And it happens in college. In college football, it's almost ridiculous because they spread you out and they got a bunch of safeties in there playing linebacker. And anytime you go up to double those guys, they're 10 yards down the field. You're blocking them. And it's like, it's a run. And so I think if you got a running back, now you run the ball. I would run the ball at least. If you get 65 plays, I'm going to run it at least 25 times. Not even a problem.
Herm, I wanted to ask you this as well. We're talking about the struggles so far this year, even amid their success, that Matt Eberflus has had figuring out when to challenge, when not to challenge, and also getting the clock aligned properly to get that end of half, start of next half double up. When you put in your protocols, what you wanted and how you wanted information when it came to knowing what you have to know to challenge, when you had those meetings and say, look, this is how I want it to work to make sure I can make in the best informed decision as quickly as possible, how did you do it? Oh, man.
I think we lost him. That was a good question.
I thought that was a really good question.
That was a good question. I was hanging on the words of Herm Edwards.
I know. I thought he was just like gathering his thoughts to respond to that eloquently phrased and well-considered question with a pearl of football wisdom.
I mean, you were going to get a pearl of wisdom.
I know.
Yeah, it's Herm.
I know.
Regardless of the question, Herm was going to give you a pearl of wisdom.
Damn those Cylons out in outer
space. We got him back. Yeah.
Herm, I don't know if I can...
ask the question again.
If I can duplicate
the quality. No, I got the question.
He got it. Okay.
I got the question. So here's what I did. I had a guy in the box. I had a coach up in the box. And he basically was the control guy. I was in his ear. He was in my ear after every series or before the series. And always reminded me, because, see, you get caught up in the game now. And all of a sudden, it gets by you. And that's why I'm saying he's doing a lot. Coach is doing a lot. I had a guy in the box that all he did was look at situations. We knew situations. We discussed it all week, what we were going to do. And when they were about to occur or they didn't occur, I was always in communication with him. So he says, hey, coach, we talked about this. Oh, got it. Because you might be talking to a defensive coach. You might be talking to an offensive coach on your line. You could be talking to a player. I mean, you got a lot on your plate. I mean, being head coach during the game, oh, boy. And then you got to make a decision. And you're trying to call defenses. That's hard. He's doing a good job, but it's hard.
It takes a lot of trust. I mean, you better.
Yeah, well, it does.
That's got to be somebody that you know has got your back and isn't trying to take your job.
No doubt. No doubt. And you talk about it as a staff. You know, you go through all these scenarios, and you know that's part of your time management, your game management meetings you have with your staff.
And not every coach has that person on staff. That's what's surprising to me.
I think we lost him again. Herm, we're going to say thank you.
Whoops.
And much appreciated. Very glad that you could join us. Always terrific.
And he gave you a great answer about your question.
Yes. Yes. Have that guy.
I'm just glad you heard your question.
Trust that guy.
Having you repeat it in that same manner was going to be a roll of the dice.
It took a lot out of me. You know, I don't even know if I could remember it at this point.
You're building a bridge there.
So, how much do you think he would charge for like a phone call every morning just to motivate me for the day? Because I would love that. It's like, Herm, I want you to call me at 6 a.m. every day and just motivate me. I don't care what it is. Just motivate me.
Let me tell you something.
That's a really good idea.
You're going to get out of bed today. Is it on Cameo?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say, he could just do that as an automated app.
Yeah.
And then everybody could listen to Herm's wisdom of the day.
Yeah, you just buy
listen to it when you wake up.
Hermio?
A Hermio.
You buy the Cameo.
We'll work on the title.
And have him do it for you. Look, I'm on Cameo. I'll give you a motivational speech if somebody wants to buy one.
This app, how does under that go?
I don't know. They're custom designed. So if you want to get on there and have me, I can give your old uncle a pep talk if need be. I can. That's the great thing. My favorite are the roasts. Like they had done like for some fantasy football leagues where if somebody was uniquely bad, they would have me to give me all of these details about the person and embarrassing stories.
No,
yeah,
that's me.
Talk about this time the girlfriend left him and all this.
Wow.
Yeah,
that should be off topic.
Oh no. You plunk your money down unless we're and I can turn it down if it gets a little too racy or too dicey.
But. By the way, 708 on the text line. If you guys didn't speak, I'd still be waiting on his response. They were on the hook. They were on the proverbial teat.
Everybody in their car is like, what? Wait, the Oracle. Herm is going to deliver us some wisdom. Well, that was fun.